Welcome to the Bloody Married Podcast, where we talk about all things horror while drinking a Bloody Mary. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Tammy, and we are totally married. Tonight, we got our Bloody Marys, and we are ranking our top five worst and best horror movies of 2020.
Yep, and it has been a year.
It has been a dumpster fire of a year.
Horror films in 2020, all films in 2020, I mean... Yeah, we got to talk about that. You know, COVID happened and a lot of the films that were going to come to theaters just didn't make it.
Which is kind of bullshit.
Yeah. We were supposed to get so many good horror films this year. And because COVID happened, all the theaters shut down along with other businesses. And they just decided to, not release them in any form. We were supposed to get a lot of cool movies this year, like Halloween Kills, Spiral, the Saw spinoff, A Quiet Place 2, Candyman, Conjuring 3, Don't Breathe 2, The Collector 3. And I'm sure there's a lot we didn't hear about, too.
Right.
And I get that there are a lot of reasons to make a film. For yourself, to make money, to put it in the theater and all that stuff. But I think my perspective is you can't forget about the core reason you're making a movie. It's to entertain the audience.
Right.
And what better time in the world when people... are at home, they don't have jobs, they're looking for something to take their mind off of things, than to give them these films, right? How cool would it have been this Halloween if, like, oh, Halloween Kills, you can rent it, say, even for $30. I still would have paid that. You would have paid that. So many other people in the world would have paid to see that movie or to see, like, any of these other films on here.
Right, like Bill and Ted. They released Bill and Ted and made a ton of money.
They did.
And all you did was rent it for $20.
Yeah. Technically not a horror film, but it's the same.
But, you know what I mean? They still release movies.
Yeah. And we'll circle back to this with at least one of the films on our list that have to deal with this. But I think they should have released these films. And I get that this is a they didn't know. Like, I think people thought that maybe in November, December, theaters would start opening back up, but they didn't. I think they opened here. We had theaters open up for like a month. And yeah. It was only at like half capacity. And we contemplated going and seeing a film, but shortly after they shut down again. I think the thing is we were supposed to get a whole lot of cool horror movies and we didn't. The upside of that is we saw some films we probably wouldn't have seen otherwise. We saw quite a bit of independent horror movies.
That's very true.
So, that's that. COVID wrecked the industry and changed it for the foreseeable future. And I hope that they start releasing some of these films on demand because I think people will pay for them. I know I would.
Oh, we would totally pay for them. And then we were talking about this a while ago, but like you can release them on demand, but then also bring them into the theaters, like Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Do a back-to-back with the first one they made and then the second one.
Yeah.
Make your money that way. I'd still go see them. Well, I would see some of them in the theaters. If it was trash, I wouldn't. But
exactly.
If it's good, I still want to see it in the big screen with a bunch of people who enjoy it just as much as I do. It's the vibe. Like, and because you've missed going to the theater, too.
Exactly.
You would make more money if you release them on demand and then brought them back into theaters.
I know. Like, if they released the new Saw film on demand and then... 6 months later, theaters open back up again, and then you can go see it in the theater. I'd still go see it if it was good. Heck, I might even go see it if it wasn't that good, just to go see something in the theater. But I think it was a bad choice. I think they could have made more money, especially with something big like Halloween Kills.
Yeah.
People would have loved to have seen that on Halloween and would have paid a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. Being stuck in the house, you can't go to the theater.
So, you know, producers, people out there, release your fucking movies. We want to see them. Quit holding him hostage.
Right. I don't want to wait till 2023 to see some shit. Like, show me now.
All right. Well, let's move on to something a little more positive, right? We have projects.
We do have projects.
Talk about yours.
Well, I wrote a book. It's called Dashboard Jesus Confessionals.
Woo! Woo! Wife wrote a book.
I did. If you're looking for a book that is like a self... healing, you know, I wrote this book because I was in a really shitty place in my life and I was trying to work out some shit. And so this character, you know, she takes a road trip across country and there's shenanigans along the way and She has her dashboard Jesus that she has therapy with. There's a lot of profanity. It's some cool shit. You should check it out. Dashboard Jesus Confessionals. You can find it on Amazon and paperback and Kindle Virgin.
Virgin? Kindle Virgin?
Kindle Virgin. It's a Kindle Virgin. Kindle Virgin.
But the hard copy is cool because you get one of these. And soon there'll be some swag coming along, bookmarkers and maybe some pins. Stickers or pins or something like that.
And there's also artwork in it because I think for me to show the character's progression and how she worked through her shit, artwork, sketches. So there's sketches along the way as well.
Yeah, so even if you don't like reading, you can just flip through it and look at the sketches.
There's pictures, and the pictures tell you a story from start to finish as well. So check it out.
Yeah. Cool, yeah.
What are you up to?
Well, funny you should ask. As you may or may not know, I am a horror film director, award-winning at that, and I have a few projects to talk about. One is my short film, Night of the Witch, that we worked on for quite a while. It's a rad 80s throwback horror comedy with lots of babes, blood, and bad one-liners. And it did pretty well in horror fests over the Halloween season. We got 14 awards, including Best Short Film, Best Score, Best Cinematography, and a lot of other stuff. And it's cool that it did so well in festivals because the world shut down. Like 99% of film fests didn't exist. So they all had to, or the ones that kept going had to change to virtual and online only.
Right.
So it's pretty cool. We didn't get to go anywhere to see it play and to be involved in the community where it's playing at, but it did really well in festivals.
It did.
And there'll be a link in the description to the film if you're interested in checking it out. Another short film I like to talk about is called I'm Sorry. It's a creepy little horror yarn I dropped on YouTube a couple weeks ago, and people really seem to dig that one. It's a creepy little horror yarn. A link to that is in the description as well. And we got some more projects coming, some more short films on the way, and bigger stuff on the horizon. So
we do.
Check out our work if you're interested and you'd like to support us.
Yeah.
And now
we're going to jump into it.
Let's get into it. We're going to start with the five worst films of 2020.
All right.
And I'm going to start off by saying the three of them were pretty bad.
Yeah.
The other two on here, they're terrible, but they're not like, fuck this movie.
Right.
So get started. Number five, our five worst film is The Hunt, directed by Craig Zobel. He's directed some television. He directed like a Westworld episode and an American Gods episode. We saw this a while ago.
I
think this is one of the ones that was in theaters when COVID hit, and then it had to leave theaters because they started shutting down. So they put it, am I mistaken or not?
They were going to put it out, and then a school shooting happened.
Oh.
And then they pulled it.
Yeah.
Because people were.
Which is weird.
Because, you know, they're hunting people.
Yeah, but every other film has people killing people. Whatever. Who cares?
It's the climate.
I know. Yeah. It's so strange.
And it wasn't a terrible movie.
No. It wasn't bad.
It wasn't for me.
I think it was just lackluster. I think there was a lot of hype around it.
Because it got pulled. And people were like, oh shit, what's it going to be like?
It got pulled and I really don't see why it got pulled. I mean, I get it. They're like kidnapping people to hunt them for sport. But I've seen that before. Surviving the Game did it way better with Ice Cube. Ice-T, not Ice Cube, sorry. Ice-T, Rutger Hauer. That was like a 90s thing where they would not kidnap, they would trick homeless people to coming to this place. And then they would hunt them down. Kind of around the same. What I did like about The Hunt was the final battle was pretty cool.
That was cool. That was pretty badass.
Yeah. I liked the main actress. I forget her name. I just didn't get into the choice she made for how she portrayed the character.
Right. She was on Glow, right?
Yeah. And Nurse Jackie.
Oh, and in Sherlock.
Oh, yeah.
Elementary, yeah. I mean.
Can't think of her name, but she's a good actress.
She is.
Yeah. What did you not like about this film?
It was just for me. Like, there was some small entertaining parts.
Yeah.
And like I said, it had a lot of hype. So we were like, okay, is it? And then it was just
Yeah.
It was
Yeah. Again, this isn't one that we like hate, but there weren't like a lot of films, horror films we saw this year that we were like, fuck you, you know.
Too. There's two of them.
there is, but there wasn't five.
But there wasn't five.
So number four, moving on, is Fantasy Island. Blumhouse's Fantasy Island. Now this, I mean, just the premise of Fantasy Island being a horror film is like, what to start off with?
Right.
And the director isn't bad. It's Jeff Wadlow. And he directed a really cool, underrated horror flick of the 90s, I think, or early 2000s called Cry Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember that one. I remember parts of it, but I remember like being more entertained than I thought I was going to be. But anyways, Fantasy Island isn't a good movie. It's dumb.
It was lame.
Yeah.
And it was like Hallmark made a movie.
It was like
made a horror movie.
Hallmark horror. Yeah.
Right there, Fantasy yep. Island. And I mean, the premise is kind of cool, you know, you think it's going to be cool, and then it just falls flat.
I think that one of the problems was it didn't focus on anybody or anything. There was like so many characters and so many things going on that you don't get enough time to like sit with any character to even give a shit about right. anybody.
Right.
And, yeah.
Well, and like the one, Lucy Hale's character where... you know, her fantasy was to take revenge on the mean girl that mm-hmm. tortured her. And then it was sort of like she thought it was a fake. And then she's torturing this girl for real. And then she's like, oh, my God, no. I think that if it was expanded a little more instead of cramming all those characters in, maybe would have been better. But it was Hallmark horror.
I know. It seemed like that part they kind of played up more in the trailer to make the whole film seem like that.
Right.
And then like one of the, I think... sadly, I have it on DVD or Blu-ray because I found it for $5 at Walmart.
That should tell you something, $5 at Walmart.
But the tagline says something along the lines of an ending you won't forget. But there was no big twist or nothing really.
I forgot the ending, so that's a bad tagline. I don't remember the ending.
The only funny thing, Tig from...
Oh, the best... Okay,
Sons of Anarchy.
Tig from Sons of Anarchy is in this. And this is my favorite thing about this movie. Where he's like, he plays a Russian person, and he was like, where's the kitchen cooking?
With a terrible accent.
And I will say that I was going around the house the rest of the evening going, where's my kitchen cooking? Like, that was the best part of that entire movie.
It was like they paid him to show up for a weekend, and he didn't prep for the role at all. He's like, all right, Russian gangster, cash and cocaine, got it.
Where's the gun? Where's the kitchen cooking? That's it. That's the best part of that whole movie was Tig from Sons of Anarchy saying that line. That's it.
Yeah.
That was the best part.
I mean, at least it had like, nah, it sucks.
It didn't.
All right. So moving on. Third worst film of the year is You Should Have Left, starring Kevin Bacon and directed by David Cope. I think that's how you say his last name. But this director has made some good films. He's directed quite a bit. He's wrote a lot, but he's directed Stir of Echoes with Kevin Bacon, mm-hmm. and he directed Secret Window with Johnny Depp, which both of those are really great
movies.
And this is kind of around the same premise, a little bit of like a guy losing his mind. He kind of likes to make those types of films.
He killed his wife and the house lured him there or something. I don't. It was boring. It was just boring.
Yeah.
And it was another boring one for me.
I think it was disappointing because I expected more from Kevin Bacon and that director because I know they can do some really good work.
Right.
And it just felt like, I felt like they were phoning it in. You know, I didn't, like the premise is kind of cool. Like you get this house that's architecturally different and it's like bigger or smaller than it should be on the outside and the inside. And but yeah, it was all about like this house that lures people in and that have sinned and
traps them. It's like their own personal little hell.
Yeah. The big reveal is like Kevin Bacon did kill his wife.
And so he let his new wife and their daughter go and he stayed in the house and the house ate him alive or something.
The film makes this list because it's just so bland and boring in it. And it really shouldn't be with the people involved in it.
Agreed.
Yeah.
It was very just meh.
Mm. So, yeah, moving on. Now, our top two worst films.
Oh, my God.
They're bad. Number two that we have on here, a lot of people have put it on their list of, like, best film of the year. I don't see why. From a perspective, I see why. But number two is, what is it?
Relic.
Relic. Relic sucks.
It's
the director is Natalia Erica James, and she's only done short films, and this is her first feature, and that's really cool. And I understand the message you're trying to send about Alzheimer's, and you're trying to reflect it. It just sucked. It was boring.
It was another one of those where the house has more, it was like extra rooms or something, and it had to do with, like you said, the Alzheimer's. Like, I get the tie. For me, it triggered PTSD because there was a small scene where there's a shape of a body, like, because the body goo just melted into the floor.
Yeah.
And
she had a bad time.
Fun fact, I've had to do that and see that. It was my father, and I crawled over it, and it was very traumatic for me. And that was like, whoo, PTSD moment.
Yeah.
And that was the scariest part of that whole movie. It was my own PTSD.
Which in turn, I guess you could make an argument for, then the movie's really good because it did a good job.
But Dr. Sleep also ticked off that PTSD, and it was good.
Dr. Sleep was a great film.
And it was good. This one,
Relic, just wasn't my cup of tea. And they're trying to tell, and I get it, they're using Alzheimer's as an analogy with the house and how the grandma is acting and deteriorating. And they're doing like the different generations. Like there's the granddaughter, the mom, and the grandmother.
Right.
And so they're, you know, you're going through something. Well, is the house haunted or whatever? But it's just an analogy for Alzheimer's. And the thing is, if you want to do something like that, make it fucking entertaining. This was so drab and nothing happened. And I didn't like what the characters were doing at all. And this was another example of a movie that has like a fantastic segment in it. There's this really cool sequence for 5 minutes where they're like lost in the walls of the house.
Right.
And when you turn around, like the wall's different, or it's closing in on you, or it's getting bigger, closing in.
And changes every time she turns around.
That was a fantastic sequence. Like if they could have kept up that momentum or done more stuff like that and made your characters more relatable, I think.
And like bust through the wall to get out of where she's at. Yeah. And then, you know, then they like the grandma is like breaking apart, and then they just start peeling her skin back to reveal this old sad, I think it has to do with the great grandpa who died in the middle of the woods, and they took the thing from his cabin and put it in the door.
Yeah,
that window. And it didn't hold that suspense. And it didn't, like you said, you're not caring with a character, you're not, it just didn't, it didn't hook me.
Yeah. And I mean, you could say, well, you know, your grandmother has Alzheimer's and dementia.
Yep.
So you can relate.
I can.
And so being as someone who can relate to it, it still sucks. The movie still sucks, you know, even if you're trying to tap into that.
Right.
Yeah.
All I did was tap into my PTSD and then I was left disappointed.
Yeah. I don't see... Again, this is one of those, I can see why it makes top lists because of the art house stuff and how it's vague. So you could perceive it as being a haunting, or you could perceive it as Alzheimer's, or, you know, whatever you want to do.
Sure.
Was my bag. Didn't like it. Now let's move on to our worst film of the year. This is such a disappointing. But also, this movie, what do you expect it to be? But there's so many things. Okay. Number one, worst film of the year is The Craft Legacy. Fuck that movie.
Fuck that movie. First of all, it was, you're The Craft Legacy. Legacy. And that is what you fucking give us? It's like ABC Family fucking horror. And it's not even horror. And it, like, there was fucking milk baths and sparkle magic.
There was milk baths and glitter and sparkle magic. This was like if CW got a hold.
Oh, not even. No. Not even. CW can pull off horror. ABC Family. That's what that bullshit was. ABC Family. Fucking Family tried to do a horror goddamn movie. And it's The Craft. It is the motherfucking Craft, which is such. I love The Craft.
And if you don't know.
Such a great movie.
The Craft is a horror-ish film from 1996 that kind of came out around the same time as Scream, I Know What You Did Last Summer. So it fits in a perfect spot in that era, in that time, and for the type of film it is and the people that were involved in it. It's just a really entertaining and fun watch. This one isn't. It doesn't have an identity. And it seems like there's a cool idea in there somewhere for a film, but they never follow through with it. This has the most anticlimactic ending and one of the worst, like, bad guy battles ever. So David Duchovny's in this film, which I love him. I'm in the middle of an X-Files binge right now, and he's a great actor. This feels like he did somebody a favor, and I'm pretty sure that's what it was, because one of the kids is like his co-star from Californication's daughter. I bet you anything this was a favor.
He phoned it in, first of all.
Yes.
Second of all, like you said, it doesn't have direction. You don't get a final battle or know who the bad guy is until the last 5 motherfucking minutes of this film.
And it was
and then all of a sudden David Duchovny comes out of nowhere as a warlock or some shit.
He walks out of the bushes as a warlock
and he tries to capture the girl, and then her friends, who were taking a break from her for a moment, all of a sudden come back and they form a circle and they use glitter fucking magic to put him in a ball of fire, and it was so like anticlimactic, and it was fucking bullshit, and you're the Kraft legacy, and that was the stupidest fucking god damn it.
Yeah. I know.
I'm so mad at this film.
And then at the very end of the film, like, you find out that Firuza Balk, she was in the original Kraft.
Right.
Her character is the mother of the main character of the Kraft legacy, which in itself, that's cool. Okay. But don't make that the end of your film. Make that the midpoint. And, right. And then go somewhere else. Go somewhere interesting.
I will say there was some funny lines.
I don't remember them. Tell them to me.
I remember laughing at some things.
It was probably something we were talking about.
It might be.
And not even the movie.
And also, that is her mom. Do you know, if you ever saw the first fucking movie, her mom is a crazy badass witch. Like, she's a nutball. And she is so good.
Yeah.
And that's her legacy. Fuck you. God damn it. They ruined the craft. That is not the legacy I need to redo. God damn it. Fuck, shit. I hated it. Seriously. And then they say, they use the throwback line, "We are the weirdos, mister." No, you're not. No, you're fucking not.
Oh, yeah. They were not weirdos. No.
You are not weirdos.
No, not at all.
You are ABC family fucking witches.
And there were so many characters in this movie that didn't need to be there. Like, they really needed to trim down all the characters and the storylines and focus in on some people. Like, David Duchovny, he had 3 sons, and you don't spend any time with any of them to care about anybody. I think that's the problem with this film.
Right.
And the problem is the same problem with Fantasy Island. There's so many characters in there and so many extra storylines that why do you give a shit? Like, the main actress did a good job.
Oh, she did.
Like, if she were handed a different script, that'd be a different story. Yeah, it sucks. It sucks. It's like, if you like the craft, don't see the craft legacy.
You will be so pissed off. And even, I mean, the original craft wasn't super scary, and but it was a really badass witch movie.
Yeah.
And this is,
and they dress goth and cool.
Come on. They put her in a fucking milk bath with flowers, and then there was CGI glitter magic. Stop it.
I could do better CGI on my computer with After Effects, probably. And I don't know After Effects that well.
Just stop it. And and really, it was so anticlimactic. You don't know where the story is going into the last 5 minutes where David Duchovny's like, I'm going to steal your power because you're powerful. What?
Yeah.
Well, you didn't even know. Like, you kind of thought that he was maybe a bad guy, but you really didn't know. At most of the movie, he was just a dick.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he's a warlock with black eyes and he's trying to steal your magic, and 5 minutes later he's engulfed in a ball of fire, and then they just move on. He was a...
Yeah, and then it like cuts to the next day and everyone's just walking around. Like, shouldn't people be more concerned that this man is gone? Like, David Duchovny's gone?
He has three sons? What the fuck? He's a prominent, like, self-motivational speaker.
Yeah, he's like a prominent person. Like, it's just so... It makes no sense. There's so many plot holes. It's not fun to watch. And it really craps on the craft.
It really does crap on the craft. And I'm just going to forget that it ever existed after this.
So yeah, those are our five worst films of 2020. The Hunt, Fantasy Island, You Should Have Left, Relic, and The Craft Legacy. So, we got that out of the way. Let's move on to some good stuff.
All right.
What were our five best films of 2020?
All right. So our number five, which is the last horror movie we saw in the theaters.
It is.
Was Underwater.
Yes.
With Kristen Stewart.
Uh-huh.
And a really cool creature.
Yeah. Kristen Stewart does a great job.
She really does.
And you don't get underwater horror much anymore.
Mm-mm.
Or like kind of those space station, workstation, claustrophobic horror films, like on a bigger budgeted level. So it was really cool seeing that in the theater. The director is cool. William Eubank. He's directed a couple indie films, and I think this is the biggest thing he's ever done.
Mm-hmm.
But if you haven't seen it, oh yeah, spoilers, we spoil everything.
Oh yeah, spoiler alert.
So you're not expecting the ending there to be this big, so you're in the ocean and like there's these little creatures. I think they tapped into, were they an oil rig or something? They were like doing something in the ground.
Right.
And it released, like, you saw little creatures here and there. But the big reveal is these little creatures are just part of a huge Cthulhu, like,
right,
sea creature god.
Underwater.
Yeah.
Massive, like, what the fuck?
I know. And that was awesome, especially to see on the big screen, and didn't see it coming at all because...
No, you didn't.
We didn't, like, check out any spoilers or anything before seeing it.
And like you said, it was that claustrophobic underwater, you know, you can't, you're under fucking water. Like, you're not, if especially deep down in the ocean,
yeah,
you're going to die. You're going to fucking die.
Yeah. Did she die?
I think they all died. Did they not?
I can't remember. It's been so long. It seems so long since theaters were here.
I know.
Yeah, but that was really, really cool.
It was entertaining. It kept you like...
They jumped right into it too, from what I remember.
Oh, yeah. It was like, you got some story and then boom. Yeah. Shit's going awry.
Yeah.
And they're having to get people out.
I know. I wouldn't mind a sequel to that.
I wouldn't either.
In some form.
Yeah. That would be cool.
Yeah.
And like you said, Kristen Stewart, she did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for me, she's a hit and a miss, but
yeah,
this one,
me too,
it was really good.
Yeah, she did. She did great.
Mm-hmm.
Heck yeah. Well, that's number four, fourth best film of the year, The Rental, directed by Dave Franco. And this one,
it was good.
This one came straight to video, straight to on demand, because it came out around the time of COVID.
Right.
I really like this one. It also has a cool cast. Dan Stevens, Allison Brie, Jeremy Allen White, who's...
Shameless.
Lip.
Lip on Shameless.
Yeah.
He was great.
But what this movie does, it takes a cool twist on the slasher genre.
It does.
Yeah.
And like, you know... I love the Airbnb. This is like one of a couple that have come out about Airbnb type of horror.
It's a new thing because it's popular in the world where Airbnbs are, the setting for your horror film.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's a whodunit, like, oh, who's the killer?
Mm-hmm.
And then in the end, you never see their face.
Yeah, that was a cool thing about this is it was one of those anonymous kind of killer things. And you I think you catch glimpses or something, but you never see.
They have a mask on.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Even if there are on camera, you know, a camera catches them or something, you never see who the actual killer is. And just how like they place cameras all throughout, hidden cameras all throughout the house. And then just start picking them off one by one.
Yeah.
And everyone dies in that, I believe, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, they all die. Like, that's the killer's thing is, what is he? He cases Airbnbs. Right.
He, like, rents them before.
Yep, he rents them before. He sets up his cameras, and then he waits until, like, the perfect gang rents it, and then he decides to kill him, takes down all the cameras, moves on. Yeah.
And then all these people are dead, and no one... That's a fucking... I mean, if you're going to be a serial killer, I mean, that's a pretty choice way to do it.
Yeah, and I think Out the Gate is a great directorial debut from Dave Franco, James Franco's brother.
So good.
Yeah.
And then at the end, he's in another Airbnb.
setting it all up again. Yeah.
And then, you know, that's just creepy in itself because, you know, people go to hotels now, but a lot of people are utilizing, you know, Airbnbs.
So nobody background checks an Airbnb, really. You just go and check the ratings and reviews. Right. You don't really know who owns the thing.
I feel like after watching this, if we get an Airbnb, I'm checking for fucking cameras.
Right?
Hidden cameras. We're going through the whole house.
We are bringing flamethrowers.
We are going to be fucking prepared.
We're rigging
just
the doors
in case.
With landmines. It's
just
all happening. Yep.
But it was very suspenseful. It had good drama. It had great kill scenes. Mm-hmm. It was whodunit, and then to find out you don't know who it is.
Yeah.
You're not going to see that person, which adds that extra level of scary, I think.
Yeah. I like it. All right. Number three, third best movie of the year, Invisible Man.
That was...
directed by Lee Whannell, who directed Insidious 3 and Upgrade, but he wrote Saw and was the co-star of Saw, wrote Saw 2, Saw 3, has been involved in all those. This is a great film.
It's a fucking spectacular film.
Yep.
And you are on your, like, the anxiety straight away. Like, out of the gate anxiety for this.
Well, this is a cool way to reintroduce the, what company makes, like, Invisible Man, Mummy, Dracula... What is
Universal.
That? Yeah, Universal. This is a great way to reintroduce the Invisible Man with Universal. I think it's really good.
And it doesn't have a, like, the other ones were more campy-ish.
Invisible Man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the Kevin Bacon one was not as
Hollow
campy.
Man?
Yeah, Hollow Man.
Yeah.
But this one is just fucking out of the gate.
It is.
You
psychotic. She did a really great job. What's the actress's name?
Elizabeth Moss?
Yes, Elizabeth Moss. Amazing.
She's directing amazing in anything she does.
Fantastic. Edge of your seat stuff. You're at the edge of your seat through the whole... And there's a scene in here that is so insane. I haven't really seen anything like it. When they're at the dinner table and they're eating, and then suddenly, like, the knife just comes up and slits her friend's throat, right? In public, in front of everybody.
That was fucked.
Yeah. Because
she's thinking, okay, I'm in a public place.
Yeah.
He can't get me here.
Yeah.
Because she knows he's in a fucking invisible suit. And that's what her husband or boyfriend who's...
Well, I think they leave it open-ended where... Wait, no, did they? I can't remember.
Crazy, like, tech guy who invented this suit. But he's also a domestic violence motherfucker. And he gaslights the fuck out of her. Mm-hmm. And he abuses the shit out of her, mostly mentally.
Yeah, yeah.
And so she's just, like, fucking scared out of her mind. And then she meets her sister. It's her sister.
Yeah.
And then, because he did some, like, crazy shit with her phone or something. Because he's hiding in the house that she's fucking staying at.
Yeah.
And right in the middle of a crowded restaurant, sister's throat gets fucking slit. And it was like, holy shit, what the fuck?
Yeah, right.
And then they blame it on her because...
Mm.
He, like, puts the knife in her hand.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Like,
but I like the twist that it's a suit somebody made to become invisible, and the person underneath of it is just a human, just a psychotic killer. It's nothing supernatural.
Right. It's not supernatural. And then I think they did the whole switch, like, the lawyer brother was in one suit.
Yeah,
and it wasn't
I think I think two were involved or something like that. I can't remember. It's been a while, but I just remember it was really good. And nobody believed. Well, no, she had a friend that was by her side.
He was by her side.
Yeah.
And then his daughter got attacked, and then he blamed her for it.
And then he was like, "Nah, daughter got hurt. I'm out." But yeah, it was a great film. I think, you know, what they've done recently with the Universal horror film, they did The Mummy with Tom Cruise, which bombed. And it should not have been the Mummy movie. It should have just been a Tom Cruise film.
Right.
And what else did they try? I think they tried Dracula. Well, they were going to do this whole other thing and they canned it. Like, Johnny Depp was going to be in The Invisible Man or something like that. I can't remember. But they just canceled those plans. And I think this is great. This is a great way to do The Invisible Man. And it's a great horror thriller. Yeah.
It is.
Well
and you're
done.
Like on your, you're just from start to finish. And when she finally wins in the end, it's like,
it's
you can
very
breathe.
Satisfying.
It's so satisfying. Yeah. And you can finally go, oh, God.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God.
I know.
Yeah. So good. So good.
Yep. Well, let's move on to our two best films of the year.
Top two.
And this was hard for me. Two can be one and almost is one, but there's a lot of things that we like. These just switch places every other day.
Right.
Is kind of what we're going to. So number two is Freaky.
Oh my God.
Directed by Christopher Landon. He directed Happy Death Day and Happy Death Day to You. I think Freaky is his best film so far. It's Vince Vaughn is a serial killer who accidentally switches bodies. Not accidentally. He just switches bodies with a teen girl.
Right.
So it's like Freaky Friday.
And Friday the 13th.
Yeah. That's what it was supposed to be called. It was supposed to be called Freaky Friday the 13th, but probably because of, you know, all the Friday the 13th lawsuits, they couldn't do it.
So. Right. And Catherine Newton, who I love, she's, if you're a Supernatural fan like I am, she is on that.
Yeah.
She plays Claire. But it would, oh my God, having him switch bodies with a teenage girl.
It's hilarious.
Like, fucking hilarious.
I love Vince Vaughn, and I love the choices he's made over the last 10 years of his acting. And this is a perfect role for him. I love this. This movie, it's, you get exactly what you think you're going to get. Like when you see the trailer for Freaky, it's what you think it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And more than that. It's just a lot of fun 80s throwbacks. It's kind of what the director's deal is. Like Happy Death Day was Groundhog's Day with a horror twist. Happy Death Day to You, I thought sucked, but it was kind of like Back to the Future-ish, you know, kind of crap.
I think he pulls it off excellent in this one.
This is the perfect balance.
This is a Freaky horror comedy. They have some really cool kill scenes.
Awesome kill scenes.
Super, like,
some funny lines. There's this whole sequence where, like, Vince Vaughn is sitting in the back of the car with, like, her boyfriend. So it's like Vince Vaughn is his older man.
Or a boy he likes.
Yeah.
She likes.
Yeah. Having this romantic interaction with this teen boy.
God.
And it's so fun. And then when they kiss, it's so great too, because you know damn well Vince Vaughn is like, just okay, we'll put the hand here. They put the hand in front of each other's mouths, like, and they're kissing.
Is it weird that I want to kiss you right now?
It's so good.
It is weird, but let's just do it.
Yeah.
It was so good. Just start to finish, fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
The kills are so great, where they take the teacher and puts him in the skill saw.
And who the teacher was Ferris Bueller's Day Off. He was
the best friend. I can't remember his name.
Yeah. Spin City, that guy, whatever his name is. He's in there. And so you get to see him die. Pretty good.
Oh, yeah. And just, the kill scenes are great. And Catherine Newton does great transitioning
really
into the serial killer.
That was
like,
cool.
Like, that's
to see
her. And she's like, there's boobs and like, cool shit.
I know. She starts like kind of like a character from Nightmare on Elm Street 4, all meek and stuff. And then she turns into a badass when she becomes the killer.
Right.
Yeah. It was a cool transformation to see.
And the one girl, the mean girl, she like locks her in a the freezer. And then they open the door and she just shatters.
Yeah. And this is you know, going back to what I was talking about in the beginning, how film industry, they weren't releasing any of these films like Halloween Kills, the new Saw movie, Candyman. Freaky just got released. They just put it out. So I give the producers and the filmmakers and everyone involved in that props for giving us this movie.
Right.
Like, fuck, we want to see films. We want to see new, good horror films.
We want to be entertained.
So props to Freaky for just fucking doing it. And I bet they made lots of money. And I'd love to see Freaky 2 or a crossover between Happy Death Day. I think they've like mentioned that, or the actresses said they'd be down for it. Oh. Like a Happy Freaky Day or whatever they want to call it. Freaky Death Day.
No, it was just, and then just how her, like, she wakes up, or Vince Vaughn's, you know, her, and then, like, her friends, like, are trying to, like, he's, you know, he's a murderer, and people know his face, and she's trying to convince her friends that she is actually her, and they're, like, do this cheerleading thing, Vince and Vaughn, they're, like, throwing things at him, she's like, oh,
hilarious.
No, stop
it's
hitting
really me!
Oh, it's just so spot on and funny.
Or how he'd run too. It's just hilarious.
Oh
my. And what this movie does at the very ending, there's like this final showdown. So they swap back to bodies.
Yes.
And so Vince Vaughn is now the killer again. So he comes back to the house to take the girl out. Well, the girl, her sister, and her mother tag team kill the fuck out of Vince Vaughn. And they do it 10 times better than the new Halloween did their final
so
showdown.
So much better.
With the exact same, like the new Halloween, Jamie Lee Curtis, her daughter, her granddaughter all team up on Michael Myers. And it was lackluster. It sucked. And you didn't feel that rage and that energy.
Right.
But with Freaky, they did it in such a short amount of time. And they just did it right. Like right. You could tell they're all kicking his ass.
Well, and they even touch on stuff like in Halloween where there's the PTSD and all these things. Like in Freaky, the dad died.
Yeah.
And so the mom's and out like drinking too much. The older daughter just throws herself into work.
Mm-hmm.
And the younger daughter is like the pleaser, wants to help her mom, wants to do everything right.
The exact same characters as the new Halloween.
Right. And in a shorter amount of time,
yeah.
And in the end, they kick his ass. And
I know.
It is so fucking great.
It was awesome. Yeah.
It was so great. Just all three of them just
if I'm
totally
not mistaken,
on him.
Did she roundhouse it into his chest?
I think she did.
If not, that's how it is in my head. And that's how it ever, forever shall be.
They just, like the mom, the sister,
yeah.
Her, they just go ham on him. And it was fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
And exactly what should have happened in Halloween. Yeah.
So Freaky is good. Number two. At times, it's our number one film.
Yeah, they can swip.
Yeah.
Switch.
But the number one film, which is fucking amazing, is...
The Wolf of Snow Hollow.
Which is a fantastic horror comedy independent film by director and actor Jim Cummings. He directed and acted in it.
And wrote it.
And he's known for, like 10 years ago, he made a short film called Thunder Road, which got a lot of attention, and he turned it into a feature film. And this is his latest. And it's really, like, we didn't know anything going into this. I saw, like, a trailer in passing, and I just kind of read that this was, like, one of the ones you should watch of the year. We watched it, and it was so entertaining.
Oh, it was fucking hilarious. The kills were great. He is so funny.
It's about a small town in the middle of winter. A small town. There's killings that are happening, and there's this guy who's a small town cop who's struggling with alcoholism and raising a kid, being in a divorce, and killings start happening, and everyone's saying it's a werewolf, and
right.
He's saying it isn't.
It's not werewolves do not fucking exist. It is a man, and we're gonna not kill. We're gonna bring him to justice. Like,
yeah. So he's like trying to deal with all these things at the same time, and it's just hilarious.
Well, and his dad,
Robert
the sheriff,
Forrester,
yeah, which is his last film he did, correct?
Yeah, he's dead now, which is sad.
So he's like his dad's the sheriff, and phasing him out. And there's one line where the dad's like, well, Willie Nelson's still, he's like, to be fair though, Willie Nelson isn't a cop. Like, he's not
yeah.
fucking the sheriff.
Yeah.
He plays his guitar on stage, dad. Like,
I know. And I remember there being like some person that the main character would always, like, when he go to his AA meetings, like say off screen, like, shut up, Bill, or something like that. No one's talking to you, Bill.
And his freakouts are so funny.
That they're funny,
so,
because
so funny.
They're like, they seem very non-threatening from him.
Right.
Because, you know, he's not a big guy. So
no.
It's funny.
And then like, well, maybe we should, you know, all the his cop, you yeah. know, people around. They're like, no, we're going to fucking figure this out. We're not going to call anybody in. We can do it. You know, like,
yeah.
And just everyone's like, oh, it's a werewolf. It's a werewolf. And he's like, it is not a fucking werewolf.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm going to find this guy. If it's the last thing I do, I'm going to find this person. So what the cool thing this movie does is it makes the audience think that there's a werewolf too.
Right.
And it, like, everyone in the movie is like, it's a werewolf. And us as audience members viewing it, we're like, oh, it's a fucking werewolf. But it isn't. It's just a guy.
It is a taxidermist.
A
who's
tall
like
taxidermist.
7 feet tall.
Yeah.
And like addicted to drugs, I believe. And he makes yeah. himself a wolf suit, and he goes and fucking kills people.
Yeah. So, and the whole thing is, it's funny because, like, this guy, he's seemingly failing in every aspect in life. He's like,
oh, yeah.
He's not being a good dad. He's relapsing his alcoholism. He's losing his father. His dad dies. And like, the one thing that he has control over somewhat is being a cop, and
right.
he can't even seem to solve the case.
But
right. then at the end, like, he does. He finds, you know, he gets this one thing right where he solves the case. He catches the bad guy.
Well,
yeah.
And like, his daughter is in, like, gets attacked, and he like pulls up, and he's like, "What? You're supposed to be at home." Like, and she's like, "Aren't you going to see if I feel better?" And he was like, "No, because you're supposed to be fucking at home, and I don't have time for this shit." Like. He is so funny, and that's why we put it at number one, because you go in like Freaky, you know it's gonna be funny, you know, like you said, with the trailer you know what you're gonna get, and they deliver absolutely.
Yeah,
and even if you watch the trailer for this, you think it's gonna be scarier, more creepy more it's a werewolf, and it is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it lands, like, it lands more on the comedy side for sure.
It does, for sure. And but you're not I wasn't expecting it to be that funny.
Yeah,
and there was so many lines that were just like, oh my god, that's fucking, oh my god, that's fucking hilarious. Yeah. And his performance is so good.
It takes a lot to be able to write, direct, and then act on top of it. Like, you gotta be really passionate. There's got to be some passion behind that, and a lot of coffee in order to pull that off.
Red Bull's coffee. Like,
my props go to Jim Cummings. That's a really great film, and I can't wait to see what he does next.
Oh, I'm excited to see what he does next.
Yeah.
I want to see Thunder Road. Like, I want to go back and watch that.
We
just
should.
Because I was so just... I was pleasantly surprised by this movie.
Oh, for sure.
I didn't think it was, you know, like we said, we didn't know really anything about it. The trailer was like, okay.
They did a good job too. Like, they made me think for a second that it was his partner, or the female cop. Like, we were thinking, maybe she's just going around killing people. It was really good. A very delightful film to watch. And as you can tell, like, our top two films are horror comedies. I love making them. I love watching them. And I think, excuse me, Bloody Mary is getting my throat here. But I think, you know, this whole year, COVID, all the crazy crap that's going in the world with COVID and politics, and no matter where you land on, it's just insane out there.
Right.
Just having a laugh watching these is much needed.
Oh, very much needed.
For sure.
Do we have any honorable mentions?
Yes. Honorable mentions for worst for me. Is Babysitter 2 Netflix. I thought that sucked.
That one was disappointing because the first one was funny.
Yeah, they tried way too... I love the 80s. I do 80s films and stuff. This one tried way too hard to pay. They're like, look at us, we're paying homage really hard.
Right.
Harder than hard.
So hard.
But there is a line that kept it off of our top five list. There's a line that stuck with me. It was like one of the parents, the dad. The wife was telling him, "Did you take marijuana?
Did you
take marijuana? Are you on marijuana right now? How much marijuana did you take?" So
he's like,
"I've been like, you've been walking around quoting that. I've been walking around quoting, you know, did you take marijuana?"
Right. So. It was disappointing. I did love that the boy from the first one came back.
That was cool. Yeah,
he's a good actor. I think he has great comic timing.
Yeah,
that kid. But yeah, it was disappointing.
That being said, I want to see a third one. I would like everybody involved to make a third one and put Sam Weaving back in it as more of a prominent player.
Because she's just stellar.
Kinda, yeah.
She's
seems
stellar.
Like she just kind of came in for a day or two to do her role at the very end.
Right.
But yeah, how about you? Do you have any honorable mentions maybe for the best side of things?
I enjoyed Hansel and Gretel, or Gretel and Hansel.
Yeah.
Whatever. That one was just aesthetically pleasing to my eye.
I didn't like it as much as you did.
The colors. I love just the cinema. I just love... It was so pleasing to my eyeballs. I couldn't...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're...
Like, the story was... I really wasn't... the story was okay, but it was just the visuals for me were just... I loved it.
The cinematography was great, but...
Cinematography was super great.
It didn't grab me at all. I think one we both agree on that was like pretty good was The Dark and the Wicked was a good, I think that's a good one that, you could compare it to The Relic in some ways, is just tonally, it's like,
right.
But The Dark and the Wicked
has spikes of
entertainment,
mm-hmm.
and spikes of like death and coolness and what the fuck's happening and some really cool sequences. Like the Relic had none. Well, it had like 1 5-minute thing, but
right. It didn't. It was just very and then blip. And then we watched Antebellum last night, and that was also a great movie.
That was good too.
A fucked up movie.
It was
so fucked up and sadly prevalent to what's going on in the world today.
It is. I think it suffered from. It should have either been a shorter, like an hour episode of Black Mirror, or it should have been expanded way more to like 2.5 hours. I think it suffered from landing right in the middle for me. I think it was really good. Good performances and
stellar performances. Story and stuff,
but yeah, I mean, it was all right.
Yeah. So that was our, that was it. That was our top five worst and best
of the year
that we watched.
Yeah, that we watched. There's some out there, of course, that we didn't see that I'd like to see still. But I'm looking forward to 2021 and hopefully all the movies like Halloween Kills and Spiral and Quiet Place 2 and Candyman and all those other ones we didn't get, that we get them in some form next year.
We better fucking get them. If theaters are not open, then put them on demand and make, you're going to make money either way. Because guess what? When you go to the theater, your tickets cost $12.
Yeah.
Put it on for fucking $20.
No kidding. And people, like, if we don't get those movies, well, people that are out in the streets rioting and protesting politics, go to your motion picture companies and protest there. Release the movie.
Release the movies.
Release
and then
Halloween
when...
Kills. And we then... want Halloween Kills. We want Spiral. Ah!
We want something, right? And yeah. Then if theaters aren't open, then do that. Do a double feature when they do open of the Halloweens. Fucking Marvel does back to back all their movies in one. You pay $100 and you see all these fucking movies. Do that shit. I want theaters to do that. Like, here's a block of horror movies. Let's go. Let's do it.
Well, wife, what film are you looking forward to in 2021? What horror film are you most looking forward to seeing in 2021?
Well, I do want to see Halloween Kills.
Yeah.
Mostly because they better fucking redeem themselves, because I was not a fan of... It was okay, but goddammit, the end of that movie pissed me off so much. And they better redeem themselves with Halloween Kills. I better get some badass fucking kick-ass shit.
Yeah.
If I don't, then fuck all of you. God damn it.
Remake wasn't bad. It just wasn't as great as it could be. I'm looking forward to Spiral, the new Saw spinoff.
Yeah.
I'm really curious to see what they do, it not being a direct Saw sequel and also starring Chris Rock and Sam Jackson. I just watched the latest season of Fargo with Chris Rock, and I'm really curious what Spiral is about. So that one's interesting to me.
Right.
I think the one I'm most looking forward
to. Ooh, The Collector.
Oh, yes, Collector 3. I don't think they, that one's not, COVID stopped production. It's not done.
Gotcha.
So that's one of the ones where it halted production of it. We probably would be having it sometime soon. But yes, Collector 3. That is a fantastic, one and two are great movies.
That is.
Yeah.
Those are stellar. I really enjoyed those.
Well, yeah, that's our 2020 best and worst list. So our Bloody Marys are pretty much dead.
Or they will be in a minute.
Except for hers, chug chug. And so are we. So drink in moderation.
All right.
And enjoy life and death. And we'll catch you next time.
Cheers.
The Bloody Mary Podcast.